prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adesks, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Wednesday, October 19th, 2016. Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs will be joining us here in just a few minutes. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
I almost forgot to say hello.
Well, you remembered.
Oops. Anyway, let's see if gold had anything to say today. It was a little stronger today. Beats being down. We'll take every little gain that we can get. Up 640 currently in the after market at 1269.60. We had a high of 1274. So it backed off a little bit. Silver saw the same thing, backed off about 10 cents at 17.74 as it's trading up 0.05. Platinum, again, not a lot of activity, 947. Palladium is down 2 at $638. The USDX today is trading stronger, 0.06, 97.94. Crude up. Up big, 1.02 at 51.31, and that is the reason that the mainstream financial media is claiming to be the mover of the stronger markets today. The Dow was up a whole 40 points today at 18,202. The NASDAQ was up 2, 5,246. S&P up 4, 21.44. And 10-year yield, 1.75%. Euro is still holding 1.10. European markets, you know, Germany was up strong, but the others were basically either down or flat or up just slightly. Wendy Wilson, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us from Apothecary Herbs.
Well, hello, Melody, and hello Al. How's everybody?
Wendy.
Yay, we're all together, aren't we a merry bunch? Ah,
yep.
I thought we'd talk about the eugenics. We've been touching on it a little bit, but I got some more information in this sector where science is going. A lot of research underway in the genetics area, and they want to find out if a human with super benefits can be created on purpose. So, for instance, Professor George Church, he's a geneticist at Harvard Medical School, and he's been working on that human genome project since the 1990s, and he states he has identified 10 human genes that effectively give humans extraordinary abilities if they are born with them. So science wants to create humans on a different level, making certain people superior. So they want to be able to create people with these extra benefits rather than just letting nature randomly gift people with them. Now, it's been suggested that genetic engineering is of the caliber, of this caliber where they're creating, they want to call it personalized medicine. And it can't get more personal than, you know, editing genomes, I guess. And by the way, Church is one of the geneticists that in 2008 sequenced a portion of the woolly mammoth, the genome, from a recovered DNA sample. And he's one of the scientists that wants to resurrect the species using the DNA to implant it and impregnate an Asian elephant and bring back the woolly mammoth. So science calls that de-extinction. What do you think of that?
I don't know. It's just the world is, you know, you listen to science fiction movies and the rest of it. It seemed pretty cool when you're a kid. You're beginning to understand, no, maybe it would drive you nuts.
Uh-huh.
All the things that they do in the science fiction films, the world's changing. And this eugenics is just evidence of those sorts of change. Fantastic.
Yeah, well, now Asian scientists are already cloning animals, and they're charging people $100,000 if pet owners want to clone their pets. And so you have to say, well, what would come next? Well, designer babies is what's coming next. Most likely, we'll get the green light for that because they're already structuring the argument that it will deter birth defects. Decrease diseases like cancer and dementia and so on. So from there, it's really not a big step to take your DNA from deceased individuals and clone them, as DNA can survive indefinitely. Yeah. Like you'd want to clone your mother-in-law, right?
Yeah, I know. That's I'm thinking of my former wife. I think, oh my God, she's back.
Well, you know, all kidding aside, but, you know, DNA can survive indefinitely if the conditions are right. So if, for instance, if permission were to be given, scientists may very well in the future clone, let's say, John Wayne or Marilyn Monroe. Think about that. So let's look at the 10 genes that a Professor George Church has said he has found in the human genome. He says there are 10 genetic benefits that could be given on purpose to future humans. So what are these 10 genes that humans are typically born with from time to time and offer benefits? Well, let's look. Here's 10 of them. The gene which can make human bones so hard and durable that it breaks surgical drills. Oh, my goodness. The other gene he says he found was to make humans resistant to heart disease, a gene that makes humans resistant to Alzheimer's or other forms of dementia, a gene that makes humans resistant to HIV, a gene that makes humans resistant to malaria, and a gene that makes humans resistant to type 1 diabetes. He also lists genes that make humans resistant to some viruses, genes that make humans resistant to cystic fibrosis, and genes that make humans resistant to ovarian cancer and infertility. So those are the 10 areas they've uncovered, they say now, from, you know, our DNA and our genes. And you've heard, I know you've heard, we've covered it briefly, they made this CRISPR tool, allowing scientists to alter genes, you know, they can edit out the genes they don't want. And they're trying to develop ways to add the genes they do want so they can alter the gene pool as they would like. And that, my friends, is becoming a fast reality. And what was first referred to as a research tool, the CRISPR, is now actually becoming a remodeling tool. So transitioning the human gene pool is what science is really doing. And although scientists like Church, they really don't like the term transhumanism or designer babies because they say it confuses people. I don't think it confuses people.
It helps them to understand.
I know.
Yeah. We don't want you people to understand what's really going on here. They're talking about accelerating evolution.
Yeah.
All right. That's one of the things. And when we create these super children, essentially,
mm-hmm.
What makes you think they're going to want to keep us around?
I know. People, I don't think they stop to think of the double-edged sword scenario. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let me ask you, how big is the gene pool?
We got lots of genes, and it's very complex. There's strands and strands and strands of genes, and these are the ones that they've been able to identify. Now, they've been working on this since the 90s. Seriously, Melanie. So they've got a lot of work ahead of them. Like, they figured out how they can edit genes out. But as one scientist once said, you know, you can edit out gene X, but how that edit will affect gene Y is still unknown.
That's what I was saying. You mess with something in one area, how's it going to affect all the other areas?
They have no idea yet how that works. They're just experimenting, basically.
So you might have bones that are resistant to saws, but, you know, you might only end up with one bone in your body or something. You know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
All right. Well, that's a possibility. Well, now there is a company called eGenesis. Don't you like that name? They are heading up all this technology to edit sperm and eggs in the lab. And what to do is they're practicing on animals at first. However, the real money is going to be remodeling, using the CRISPR tool, remodeling man, not animals. So I'm going to read you this statement from Professor George Church. And let me ask you what you think about it. He says this: eugenics in the USA from 1907 to 1981 involved government sterilization of 65,000 individuals to, quote, improve the gene pool. The new technology enables parents to make choices about their children just as they may with Ritalin or cleft palate surgery to improve behavior or appearance, end of quote. What's wrong with that statement? Anybody want to tell me?
I don't know where to begin. I think I'm going to have to wait for you to tell me what you think is wrong with it.
Well, what he's done is he's trying to make individual choices where parents may put a child on a medication or have a surgery to improve their soul appearance, the same as if parents were to select genes that are going to affect generations for millennia. It's not
And that's one thing about this.
It's not the same.
When you change the gene pool in your infinite brilliance and you change the gene pool, once it's changed, we're not going back.
Right.
All right?
That's it.
I mean, if you make a mistake on this thing, you could wipe out the whole species. They say, oh, my gosh. How do we go back?
There's a Pandora's box.
It'd be a good thing, huh?
Well, there is a Pandora's box here. I will admit that. Let me read you this quote from Dr. James Rollins. He's an author, and he's also a veterinarian. He says this. He says, research today has become more about seeing if something can be done versus judging if it should be done. It's knowledge for the sake of knowledge, regardless of the impact on the world. End of quote. I tend to agree with him.
I have a question. You said they really started to dive into this, you know, in the 90s. Is there any correlation to the partial birth abortions and maybe even abortions in general? Do they need these fetuses in order to test does it help them? Or is there any connections to it?
I don't think they're using the aborted fetuses for this type of research. I think that's more into cellular repair, where people are having problems with bones and stuff, and they're inserting all these cells, and hopefully the cells will repair it because surgery can't. So it's a different area of medicine. It's not really so much for eugenics in that sense.
Okay.
But let me read you this quote from Rudolf Barrago. He's a microbiologist. He says, from the moment that manipulating genes became possible, many people, including some of those involved in the experiments, were horrified by the idea of scientists in a lab rearranging the basic elements of life. Wow. And then Jennifer Doudna, she's a biochemist, she says, what if somebody like Adolf Hitler or someone very powerful and wealthy had access to this technology? We can only imagine what kind of horrible uses this research would be used for. End of quote. Good point.
Yeah, I understand. Earlier in the program, you were talking about how they were going to make this up to the parents to choose what they wanted. Well, I guarantee it can be pretty well. You could have A, B, C, and D, and they can control. Here are your selections, and they know what you're going to do. And they can control them by the price. So it'll cost you an extra $20,000 to get ultra-hard bones. It'll cost you another $40,000 to get virus resistance, whatever. The point is, from my perspective, they're saying, we're going to let the parents choose this. It's not the government. The government's not going to control the gene pool. It'll be up to the parents. But when you limit, I guarantee you the government will control the number of selections that are available. And in the end, government will control.
I think you're right. There's a whole level of marketing that could go on with this, you know, for control or, you know, regulating, if you will. But, you know, if there's money attached to it, you know they're going to go for that. Now, there's a big difference
But the people also have to want it, and they will, regardless.
Right. Well, they'll be kind of talked into it, you know, but there's a difference between people wanting to artificially enhance themselves with chips and taking sperm and ova from eggs, introducing non-human elements or artificially genetic enhancements that will continue in the population. This is called germline editing. And the risk that there's a sole scientist or a group of them willing to cross this ethical line in secret, which could have significant ripple effects throughout humanity, is very possible. I actually think they're already doing it in secret, that the public's just not aware of it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Dr. Rollins also says this. He says, human nature can be scary. The human wisdom, it's not complete. And we may make choices that are not wise and affect generations of people. Building superhumans falls into that category. There's a cost to everything. End of quote. I think so. What are we willing to pay, you know? And can we afford it?
It's extraordinarily risky. And one thing you can bet on is while they may start out and say, well, we've got 10 genes that we can splice in, these are human genes. How long before somebody says, well, you know something, we could splice a little goat gene in here, and this guy could be able to jump like a mountain goat. Why not that? How about we... I don't know. I mean, it's only a question of time before they start adding animal genes, genes, and where are we going from there? See, you can see the story of the wolf man and the vampire is half bat, and the wolf man is half wolf. I mean...
Well, I think they're going to combine robotics.
That's another section, but yeah, you could see that melding together somewhere down the line.
And when you look at the population, these young kids today and their computers, and just think of their children, I mean, they're going to want it. You know, I mean, they're going to embrace it.
Yeah, they're going to want a whole keyboard and computer right in their head.
Right in their head.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, you know, you just went into the what-if segment that I was going to propose. You know, scientists are experimenters. That's what they do. If they want to experiment with genetic mechanisms, that's what they're going to do. Now, let me say, what if they find a mechanism, if there is one, that alters longevity or when we die? Can you imagine someone like Adolf Hitler to have a CRISPR procedure to lengthen his lifespan to, let's say, 1,000 years?
No, we already have them in Washington.
Well, do you suppose, given enough time and with unrestricted use, these scientists may attempt to claim they've discovered and can deliver to you immortality? Think about all this stuff. There's no limit to their imagination, what you guys were just thinking, right?
Yeah, I know.
So,
you look at the money. You got the Zuckerbergs. You've got all these computer kids. They're billionaires, multi-billionaires at 20, 30 years of age. You know, the Facebook guys, the Google guys, you have all these computer, even Gates. He's not young, but I mean, look at Apple. Look at all of these. And they have the money.
Well,
they have the money.
Skeptics are saying, you know, this is just, you know, this is never going to happen. And, you know, but too many scientists are sounding the alarm that their fellow scientists are disregarding ethics, and what they're doing is leveraging unethical use of their research into medical and social
issues. More money, more money, more money.
They're saying it's good because, you know, you won't have disease down the road
The justification, but Everybody's got a justification. It's more money. Wendy, give us some contact information where
Absolutely.
People can...
Absolutely. I say let's protect our original equipment. And thepowerherbs.com or 866-229-3663 for a free catalog. See you later.
All right, Wendy, thanks very much. Interesting information. That's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. Wendy, Melody, and I will be right back. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Many, many people have experienced the benefits of drinking all-natural life-change tea. The unique blend of 8 herbs helps detoxify your body so you can live a healthier life. Numerous testimonies have been given about the benefits of drinking life-change tea. So, are you drinking life-change tea? Interested? Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Many are so impressed with our product, they order a year's supply. And why not? When they do, they receive 2 months free. That's a $70 savings. The body is meant to heal itself. Sometimes a body just needs a little help. Get the tea at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. This is not an ordinary green tea, and it's not available in stores. This tea helps with digestive problems, acid reflux, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and as talk show host Jerry Doyle says, it'll make you as regular as a baby bird. Enjoy your life. Get life change tea at GetTheTea.com.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, there was only one or two reports out today. New home construction in the U.S. unexpectedly fell in September. There was a plunge in the multifamily building. The permits rose more than forecasted, so again, it's another one of these, okay, let's figure this out. You know, so you had a big plunge in multifamily building while permits rose more than forecast, and residential starts declined 9% to a 1.05 million annualized rate. That's the lowest since March of 2015. This is information coming from the Commerce Department. Not a lot of hoopla there. This is what I thought was important. Residential construction may have been a drag on growth in the third quarter. Maybe they'll include Olympics along with the residential construction that have been a drag on third quarter growth. So, again, you know.
It used to be that it was getting cold in the wintertime, and that was the excuse for a slow economy. It was unseasonably cold in the wintertime. Who would have guessed it? Now the Olympics has become the explanation du jour, and who knows what we'll have next month. A new explanation.
How about that? But so again, that was, you know, it's pretty much the same old, same markets, I believe, are, you know, reacting to, you know, really any little grasp of information, and there's really not a lot of good information out there, and that's there's been a ton of money that's been funneling into the ETFs for the third quarter, Record levels of assets were reached at the end of the third quarter for ETFs that were listed in the United States, $2.4 trillion. To me, that sounds like an awful lot of money. And in Europe, it was $566 billion, and in Asia-Pacific, excluding Japan, in U.S. dollars, was $131 billion. So certainly a lot of money flowing in there. And I think I read while I was reading this article, again, this is something that hasn't been seen in for a while, but certainly a lot of money being, it's moving around, I should say. Really not a lot of information out there. Again, China's growth holds at 6.7%. China's home sales values, that rose. Listen to this. China home sales value rose 61% in September from a year earlier. So they're going to certainly have a little bit of a problem here in the near future with their home values. 61% from a year earlier, that's a pretty big rise.
And it's going to make for a pretty big fall.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What happened there? How can prices go up 61%? In 1 year on homes.
Well, maybe they were valued at $200. I don't know.
If the free market was saying, here's the price of the homes, something happened to make them go up by 61%. And among other things, it means that the homes are now they can't be afforded by the average Chinese person. If the price of homes went up 61%, who's going to build a home?
Yeah.
Who's going to buy one?
Well, it also shows how much money is over there, because home values, a lot of it is based on supply and demand. So that means there's still a lot of money floating over there. It still means there's, they're still doing not too bad. If their GDP is 6.7, or what I had just mentioned, and ours is 1.2.
up by 1.2%, theirs is up by 6.7. Yeah. So they claim, but we've talked about this before, where Premier China was complaining at one point a year, 18 months, 2 years ago, saying he couldn't even figure out what was going on in their economy, because he knows the people of the individual, the heads of the individual provinces, lie to him. It's part of the Chinese culture. Nobody knows what's really going on in China. All right? Because, this is one of the reasons why I don't anticipate that China, I see it as paper tiger. I see it as illusory. As long as its culture embraces lies, and it does.
Well, so
they
ours.
Lie
it's not
in
their
order.
Culture anymore.
Oh, I
no,
agree.
It's
I agree.
It's
absolutely.
You know,
I'm
so
not saying that they're bad and we're good. I'm saying that our political culture, where would we be if politicians couldn't lie? Where would we be if lawyers couldn't lie?
Does anybody understand red China? Does anybody get it? Red China? Do you think they're, that's what cracks me up. Oh, yeah, they're great. Yeah, let's do business there. Anyway, that's another story for another day. But what made oil move up a lot today was there was an unexpected drop in U.S. supply. So crude jumped on this data showing a surprise decline in U.S. inventories, as Saudi Arabia said many nations were willing to join the OPEC output cuts. So all of a sudden, oil is getting stronger because there was suddenly a drop in inventories. So anyway.
How can that even be possible? We're not talking about whether you've got a dozen eggs or two dozen eggs in the refrigerator. Someone should have a pretty good idea of how much oil is in inventory right now, and they should have a pretty good idea of what consumption rates are. And if you use the two numbers and put them together, it should tell you how long the supply. How much supply do we have? Do we have enough for 1 month, 2 months, 10 months? How much do we have? How can it be that you get a sudden surprise? What changed? How is it?
Where did it
using
go?
A number.
No, it's that, not even that. It's like, well, where did it go?
I understand. Or was it there in the first place? Somebody is one number that they were depending on to make these calculations has turned out to be a lie or a mistake, or they're feeding us a lie or a mistake right now.
Well,
but, you know, someone should, the inventory, how much can it suddenly change? It's like saying, oh, we got a billion gallons right now. What time is it? 3:30 Central Time, and we have a billion gallons. Oh, now we only have 500 million.
Well, they dropped.
Let's go from a billion to 500 million in just a day. What happened here?
Well, they dropped 5.25 million barrels to the lowest level since January in the week ending October 14th. You know, maybe it's found its way to the billions of or trillions of dollars of the Department of Justice or the Department of Defense lost.
Yeah, no, $6.5 trillion, according to some sources.
Yeah.
Some sources even say, I've seen where one says it's over $9 trillion that disappeared in 1 year alone, which I don't believe, but nevertheless, that's a claim that's being made. But trillions of dollars are disappearing, and the government can tell you what the national debt is right to the penny, but they can't tell you, gee, what happened to that $6.5 trillion the Pentagon had? I wonder who got that, what happened? Was that money just disappear? Buried in the backyard, or what happened? Somebody took it. It's an enormous theft. It's the biggest theft in world history, probably. And they're saying, golly, this is just so strange. I don't know what to do about this. I know what to do about it.
Yeah. How?
Somebody signed for that money at some point, and there is a trail of signatures, and somebody is the last man on the list or woman, and he or she signed and said, well, I've got the $6.5 trillion. And now it's disappeared. Well, we hold the person last to sign the document. You're either going to tell us who you gave the money to, or you are going to be tried for treason. That's all.
Wow.
But there's a trail of signatures on this thing. We could get to the last person.
I'm sure they have been bleached.
I don't care who's. Again, somebody's a custodian of the record. Somebody has the last one to sign it. It might be the guy from UPS.
All right,
and he says, "Well, yeah, I delivered a box full of $6.5 trillion to the Pentagon back on December of
Maybe WikiLeaks will release the information, in a couple years from now. But anyway, so all eyes are on oil, especially if OPEC decides to, if their cuts do materialize. And so you're expecting $60 oil by year end. And that does mean gasoline prices are going higher, inflation creeping in. And, of course, that is all what the U.S. Fed wants, to have a rate increase probably in December. So... that'll put.
We've got another article here that deals. Got another article here that deals with the oil output, and this is from Bloomberg, and they say Iran to boost oil output to fill 4 million barrels, and I believe they mean per day, as OPEC plans cut. No, so OPEC plans to place a cap on oil production. We've heard that. However, Iran, OPEC's third biggest member, plans to boost its oil output to a level of 4 million barrels a day, potentially complicating the producer's plan to cut the supply in an effort to prop up prices. The Persian Gulf nation will raise production from 3.89 million barrels a day, which is the reason that from essentially 100,000 barrels a day. That's not a big deal. All right, but nevertheless, that's what they're trying to do. A little over 100,000 barrels a day, the increase. But currently, Ali Khardov, managing director of National Iranian Oil, said on Monday at a conference in Tehran, they want to raise it from 3.89 million to 4 million barrels a day. Amir Hossein Zamania, deputy oil minister for the international affairs, told reporters that Iran pumped 4.085 million barrels a day before sanctions were imposed on its economy. And Iran said, we need to reach pre-sanction production levels. Well, my point is, we've already got one of the member of OPEC who said, well, we're in favor of a cut for the rest of you people, but we got to be able to produce what we did produce back in the day. I guarantee it's going to cause other OPEC members to say, well, if Iran gets to produce what they produced back when things were good, then we should be able to produce what we produced back when things were good.
Sure, Venezuela. Look at Venezuela.
So the point, exactly. The point to all of this is this planned reduction or cap on oil production. It remains to be seen. This is not a done deal and you've got a bunch of people who are greedy, desperate, on top of which, who even knows how much is being produced, and how are they going to absolutely control? Here says OPEC will discuss individual production quotas for its members at a meeting in November. OPEC data for Iran's production based on estimates from secondary sources, such as analysts and journalists, is not acceptable for use in determining the country's individual quota. In other words, how do you even know? Iran says, oh, we're going to produce 4 million barrels. Really? How do we know they're not going to produce 4,100,000 or 4,500,000 or even 5 million per day? Where do you get the information? All right, and the same thing goes for every other member of OPEC. I mean, we had what? ISIS was selling how much oil, at least for a while? They were funding themselves by selling oil, and where did it go? As long as there's a market for oil, I guarantee you can steal or overproduce all you want, and you can find someone who will pay you for it under the table. So, I'm just saying, fine, OPEC has a plan, we shall see. I'll believe it when I see it, but for the moment, I'm going to sit back and say, I don't know. I don't think so. So, what else, Melody?
Well, and then you look at the countries that basically have been sacrificed. So, you know, if you really look at the long-term plan, and these people are very patient, what they say and what they do, they don't need knee-jerk reactions and so forth. Nigeria was sacrificed. You had Venezuela that was sacrificed. Look what's happening in Venezuela when, 90% of their revenue comes from oil. They got hammered. You get people dying in the streets, eating dog. I mean, they're hurting. And their country, yes, the government, you can blame the government as being part of the problem and so forth. They have so many reserves. I mean, they have the richest oil. They have the largest oil reserves in the world. So are these places being sacrificed for a reason? Which I do believe it is. And, it's hard to see exactly, well, we know who's behind it, but, you know, to name them and so forth is, you know, maybe a little more difficult, or, you know, what the end game is to determine. But they have a lot of riches in Venezuela. And look what's happening there. They're expecting 500% inflation by year end, 700% inflation. And it's all because OPEC started to play with the oil prices, play with production, along with the United States. And so, I don't know. And then you wonder, you know, and look what they're doing to the people. Yet these are the same people who cry about, you know, what's happening to the refugees in Syria and stuff. What's different with the people in Venezuela? I mean, and play other people around the world that are suffering because of their decisions and because of their manipulations of various pricing and product. And the world is insane, Al. It's totally insane.
Well, it's unstable, that's for sure.
It's insanity.
I'm not necessarily sympathetic to the Venezuelan people. They are not simply the innocent victims, in my opinion. They accepted a left-wing, socialist, communist government system. And now they're paying a price for that. They thought they could legislate, they'd get something for nothing. They lost some of their ability, at least, to work and be productive. And now here they are. They don't even grow their own vegetables. Where's the food going to come from? They've been waiting on somebody to deliver. Hey, where's my free lunch? Somebody deliver my free lunch. Where we're going is we're heading to a world where we are going to lose our ability to produce free lunches. And it means a whole bunch of people are going to either starve or they are going to learn to work again. All right? And the Venezuelan people, they're going to have to learn to become productive again. And it may mean they're going to have to learn to work for a buck an hour. Or 50 cents an hour. I don't know what it's going to mean, but we are not simply victims of what they in government are doing, and they in OPEC, and they in the Federal Reserve.
Oh, I get
we that. Are complicit. All right? With our own greed, our own willingness to say, oh, I'm entitled to something that I didn't earn. You believe that? You're a parasite. You understand? You're not entitled to a nickel you haven't earned.
But these governments, what they do, and these politicians, is they condition
that's
the
my
people
point.
To
but
thinking.
People are easily conditioned.
Absolutely.
Let's say, hey, a free lunch. You need to understand there's a free lunch is like the worm on the end of a hook that's in the water looking for a largemouth bass. It's a danger. It's not an advantage. We're going to take a break, couple announcements. Melody and I will be back in a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival.
You want to talk about the debate tonight, or are we going to pass?
I don't know what to say about it. I mean, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it just to see if if one of them pulls a gun. I mean, a knife almost for sure, but maybe a gun. We'll watch and see. They get stranger and stranger and more competitive and seemingly violent. I mean, if we had two more debates after this one, Melody.
You know what's interesting, though? I read where Trump was practicing with Chris Christie. And when she took off a whole week, I heard that they built her a stage like the debate tonight. You know, they built a room. Yeah. Like, so she will have the presence and feel comfortable in that area. They also said that they're going to have guests and family members enter from different areas than normally, because they were uncomfortable with Trump inviting those three women that Bill Clinton abused. And he didn't want to have to walk in front of them and shake their hands or address them or acknowledge them. So they're actually redefining on how they walk in to take their seats. And it's also to, because usually then they showed a picture of Bill Clinton shaking hands with Trump's family members, Ivanka and one of the boys and so forth. And they don't want that to happen this evening. So it'll be interesting to see if things that are being leaked and talked about and written about, if you'll actually see those changes in tonight's debate. But yeah, she had a room built so she could practice.
I'm telling you, if they could go two more debates after this one, at least one of these, one of the candidates would be wearing body armor and maybe a helmet.
Well, no, I don't think so. I don't think she could last another three debates.
I don't know who's going to last and who's not going to last and the rest. It's a do or die situation, and now we'll see who steps up tonight.
It was interesting because I remember we were talking about the first debate, and we thought it was the first debate that would determine who was the victor of the election. And here we are in the third one, and it really is this third last one.
Determining the victor or determining the loser. I've said for years, people mostly don't vote for candidates. They vote against candidates. I may vote for a Republican, not because I particularly like the Republican, but because I despise the Democrat. I might vote for a Democrat, not because I like the Democrat, but because I hate the Republican. Mm-hmm. All right? That seems to be, I think that's, who likes politicians anymore? Who really believes when some smiling liar steps up on the stage and says, oh, we can trust him or her? BS artists, con artists, look you in the eye, lie to you, and the rest of that sort of thing. Who really likes politicians anymore? We vote against them. We don't vote for them. Again, talked about it yesterday. It's a shame they didn't have a third-party candidate in this. In these debates, because if he was shrewd, if you had a good third party candidate, as much as everyone despises Hillary and despises Trump, third party candidate could have, under the right circumstances, it could have been a fantastic opportunity to perhaps, I'm not saying they'd necessarily win the election, but they might get 20% of the vote.
Which is what really surprises me, why none of the other 16 candidates, Republican candidates, didn't jump and go into a third party, because they would have had a heck of a chance.
Imagined, though, when they would have had to make that change, would have been early on in the process, and they could not. Who could have imagined that it would degenerate into what we're seeing now?
I don't know the deadlines for the third party and so forth. I think they have a lot longer.
I'm just saying
they have a lot longer chance, you know, particularly after, I mean, it was.
I'm saying you'd have to make the decision fairly early. You couldn't dawdle around until you see how bad things are getting. It would be too late. You'd have to have jumped in, and I don't think anyone could have jumped in thinking, oh, this thing's going to turn into a.
That's probably how a third candidate would do well, is be a Republican, get on that stage for the debates, go through the whole process, go through the whole thing of those, all the debates and so forth. And if he doesn't do well, then jump to a third party. And that way you have all the exposure you need as being as one of the possible candidates for the nominee, and you get all the benefits. You get to at least get on stage, whether it's one tier or two tier, but at least you get interviewed and so forth, and you get some publicity. And then once they shake you out of there and say you're no longer a possible nominee for the Republican, then you go into the third party, then you trip. But that's how I would do it. You get a lot of exposure.
Well, it may be, but people made pledges that they would
like they really kept their pledge.
Yeah, I know.
Most did, but not all.
It was a phenomenal election. I'm waiting. I'm waiting to see the election next, how far are we? 3 weeks, thereabouts?
Pretty much.
Yeah. 3 weeks, and we're going to finally be done with this. And I'm going to say, thank God it's over. Regardless of who wins, there's going to be a part of me that just says, oh, thank God it's finally over.
No, Al, it's actually only beginning. Regardless
of something else will be beginning.
It's actually only beginning. So.
Something else will be beginning, but the election will be over.
I think what comes next after the election is going to be far worse than the election rhetoric that we've been exposed to. But anyway, what's next?
I don't know. I've got a little article here from 24H Gold, and that's the headline is PhD thesis stirs up a $1 billion gold price trial for global banks. Now, this is an interesting little story, and it goes to show, to a significant degree, what one man can do in this world. And a lot of us, we sit back and it's helpless, it's hopeless, we can't do anything to fight the major corporations and the rest of it. This is the story of an Australian professor's. Right, he's an academic, a professor. He discovered that global gold price collusion has sparked a looming U.S. This is what he discovered: global gold price collusion, and the discovery has sparked a looming U.S. trial in which four of the world's major banks are being sued for up to $1 billion over claims they rigged the price of the precious metal at the expense of investors over a decade. Perth, Australia, based Andrew Kaminsky is the academic who exposed the scandal during a painstaking study of tens of millions of gold transactions that took him 18 months. I just started studying these things, and well, let's see if we can find something. In a key development, a U.S. judge ruled last week that the four banks, this is Barclays, Bank of Nova Scotia, HSBC, and Société Générale, had a case to answer, and that a lawsuit filed by investors would proceed to trial. Germany's Deutsche Bank was also accused of manipulation, but settled its case in April and has agreed to help the plaintiffs in their claims against the remaining four defendants. Assistant Professor Kaminsky, 42 years old, will act as an expert consultant at the trial in New York and admitted that he was surprised. His otherwise obscure PhD thesis at the University of Western Australia had damaged the banks and led to a shakeup of the century-old gold pricing system. During his research, the academic discovered apparent manipulation during the twice-daily meetings held by banks in London and determined that the benchmark price of gold, which was then used by dealers, central banks, and mining companies to trade precious metals, was manipulated. The analysis of 14 years of raw data found that during those meetings and before the benchmark price became known to the public, trading volumes and gold derivatives would rise substantially. This suggested the banks were trading on and potentially profiting from information that was not available to the public, a theory that had been rumored for years but never proven. And the point is here, the point of all this guy did some research and he said, well, golly, you'll be surprised what I found. And he thought that this was an obscure little political economic thesis, right? He did some research and didn't think it'd go anywhere. Somebody picked it up and said, now we have evidence, not just suspicion, but evidence that the price of gold is being manipulated. And now, this thing's, four banks are being sued. $1 billion. I mean, as things go today, $1 billion is not necessarily an enormous sum, but just the same, if we can prove that the markets have been manipulated, it means that the manipulation, the amount of manipulation should at least be reduced and maybe even stopped, right? And if the price of gold is no longer manipulated, price of gold should rise significantly. Once we get done with the manipulation, then we turn the price of gold. It will be determined by the free market rather than by people in positions of power. And once that happens, price of gold going up, up, and up. But my main point to the story is this: just one little guy said, well, let's look at some data, and he did. And he published his results, and it went viral, essentially. I don't mean it went viral in the sense that everybody read the report. I mean that it went viral in the sense that some people read it and they said, oh my God, we have evidence. This will support a lawsuit. We didn't have evidence before, so we couldn't make an effective lawsuit. This is like Hillary Clinton and her email. There is something happening in the world where, despite all the lies and the fabrications and the manipulation and the exploitation, it's becoming increasingly apparent that there are no secrets in the internet age. When you computerize things and you make it available on the internet, it's possible for people to study things and connect the dots in ways that would have been impossible 10 years ago, 20 years ago for sure. And the truth is coming out. And it's one of those things you sit back and say, hey, this is, on one level, this is pretty cool. This is the sort of thing that gives us reason to celebrate. The truth, for God's sake, is coming out, and people may even be held accountable for it. The banks may end up losing their ability to manipulate prices, or at least minimizing that ability. I sit back and I say, wow, you know, we see difficult things and unpleasant things, and you wind up talking about them frequently on the radio program, but here is positive. This is something positive. The truth is coming out. They didn't bury the facts deep enough where one guy sat down and studied millions of transactions, and based on that study of millions, he came up with a conclusion that he thought nobody would pay any attention to. Somebody did. Now heads may roll. So I'm sitting back and say, yippee, sounds good to me, Melody.
So he studied these trades, and I think it's a great thing. And I don't know, did they actually set a trial date yet? I don't know.
Well,
if they
there's something going on. It's happening in New York apparently, and a judge ruled last week that the banks, who had undoubtedly moved that the case be dismissed with prejudice, they tried to stop the prosecution. Said, "Nope, you guys got some splaining to do."
I thought we talked about that a lot longer than a week ago, but maybe not.
Well, I didn't talk about it.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we talked about it on the program.
But not me.
Well, pay attention.
Uh-huh.
Pay attention when I talk.
No.
My question, though, is here he did go through millions and so forth. Is that proof? I mean, he can show a trend. He can show
that he's...
Is because of the length of time and the time relevant to the adjusting of the price of gold, is that proof?
It may be that a jury will rule against the people that are suing the banks. The banks may still be victorious in this lawsuit, but the banks also know that the time is coming when the data will accumulate. They might win the first lawsuit against them, but there'll be others. And whatever basis they'll learn in the trial, we're going to argue this and this and this, and these arguments that prevail, the next set of defendants are going to say, we know what you guys are going to argue now.
Yeah, but
we found a way to defeat those arguments, or at least challenge them. It means the end is near for the manipulators. Might not be right now. Might be a couple more years. But we're coming to a point where it won't be possible to manipulate. And insofar as that's true, you know, hooray. Hooray. They're not helping us. The people that are manipulating the price of gold and the rest of that, this may have started out with the idea that they would protect the beloved paper dollar, but that's nothing but a farce anyway. Nobody's help. They're not helping the people with this fraud and this fiction. Let it collapse. Let this collapse, and let's get back to something honest. And it won't be easily done, but if it is done, we will all be better off. We're out of time, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank you for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, have a good evening, good afternoon. May the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me